Science fiction often shows aliens as an exaggerated form of human being, which actually can help us understand God. Do you think we're drinking the Kool-Aid? You'll find out in just a few moments. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right. You're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm your girl, the Queen, Parker J. Let me tell you, it has been such an exciting week I've just come back from. Thank the Lord, first of all, for His traveling mercies and for your prayers. I did go to the Southern California Christian Writers Conference this past week. I was at the lovely Biola University campus in La Mirada. Let me tell you, we had such a great time for the second annual conference. I got a chance to meet some of you that have been following me on Facebook. I met some fellow authors. I met new friends and made great connections with a lot of godly people who are writers, authors, screenwriters, and just author service providers. Just so many different people were there. And let me tell you, we had a blessed time. Looking forward to cementing some new relationships with people. And you know what? They're going to be on the show coming up this year. So I'm really excited about that. Thank you to the Southern California Christian Writers Conference for hosting such a great event. One thing that happened, I was doing live broadcast at the conference, and it makes so much sense to know that when our writing is centered in the Lord, we have such a great connection. And that happened at the conference, just connecting with other authors who really understand what it means to write for the Lord or to have the Lord centered in our writing careers. We were able to pray for each other. We were able to look at each other's manuscripts. We were able to give advice, to teach, and to grow all together. And that happened at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. I want to thank again Kathy Ide, who is the organizer of that conference, for letting me be there again. I did three broadcasts while I was there each day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Two of the broadcasts are audio, and one is on YouTube. Simply go to my YouTube channel. You'll see it there. And just simply click the pjcmedia.net to hear the live broadcast as well. Has such a great time. Looking forward to it next year. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, what aliens teach us about God? Now, you may be thinking we're drinking Kool-Aid and about to, you know, go catch the ship, but I tell you, we're not. This topic is such an important topic because I think Travis Perry, our guest co-host and contributor today, really used effectively those attributes that we consider alien to show how they're not really alien at all, but that the one who loves us the most is truly quote-unquote alien. Want to find out more? You can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1. We would love to hear from you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WTJC 104.5. Again, I'm the queen, Parker J, and we're talking about something that's quite dear to my heart, actually. I told you many times before, I am a sci-fi girl. I grew up watching movies like Aliens and Predator, being something of a fanatic with Star Trek, especially the original series, and all things sci-fi. So when I saw this series of articles on Speculative Faith, which I got to thank them for hosting the article, this was right up my alley. And it doesn't help that I already admire Travis Perry. I think he has wonderful insights into a number of different things. I've been a huge follower of his insights for some time now. I also enjoy his writing. He is the editor as well as a contributor to the anthology Medieval Mars as well as Victorian Venus, and there'll be more of that coming up later on in the broadcast. And so when he started to thoughtfully put these series of posts out there, I continue to follow them, because one thing about aliens is that whether or not they exist, they do fascinate us. But Travis took it to another level. He said, what aliens teach us about God? And as he did these series of articles, I think he very effectively showed that what we're looking for, or what we consider alien, shows that they're not really alien. And what's really alien is the one who loves us the most. But I'm using the term very loosely. It's all about semantics, right? But Travis is going to unplug and unveil this topic with us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Travis Perry. Travis, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Parker, for the wonderful introduction. I love being on your show. I like talking to you, and I'm so thrilled that you are a fan of mine, because you're very supportive and awesome. I appreciate it so much. As to this topic about aliens, you know, the thing that it occurred to me quite a long time ago, and I've actually added some chapters, two chapters that I didn't put on Speculative Faith to the book that you haven't seen yet. So good, you know, you're going to be surprised. But okay. I thought about this a long time ago when I was thinking about Trinity. You know, that how God has features. If you take the idea of Christian Trinity seriously, that are not like any human being. And then some of the things that are said about God, you know, in the Bible, that God is that no one has seen God at any time, or that God is a spirit. And Jesus said this to the Samaritan woman: God is, where we worship God. Well, she, you know, here or there, that was her conversation she wanted to have. But he said that, you know, the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. And, you know, God is, when Solomon built the temple, he said, where, this house I built, heaven and earth cannot continue, let alone this house that I have built. And if you look at these pieces of scripture and treat them seriously, you get a picture of God who is really, even though he's our creator, he's very different from us. And so what happened with this idea that God is very different from human beings, this is what fed into the idea of the book, what aliens could teach us about God. And I start out talking about science fiction aliens. That the very idea of aliens that exists for a lot of different reasons, it points us in a direction of a mind and intelligence that we can recognize as an intelligence, that we can understand has plans, but those plans are not our plans. The plans are different from us. And sometimes science fiction does this really well and presents us really aliens that kind of puzzle us. Other times, so I think science fiction basically has, you know, human beings in a costume, especially you know, Star Trek, because that's the easiest thing to do is put a little funny nose on somebody and there you go, or forehead, and here you are. Now it's not a human anymore, but we all know it is a human, right? So, but that's one of the things the Bible does. If you really look at what the Bible says about God, God is an alien in a sense, and I'm using it loosely, not to mean that he evolved on another world. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that if you look at a feature of a characteristic, is God a human being? And the scripture says, no, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, says the scripture. That God does not think like a human being, and in many ways is different. And it explains so much of the many things that are important about our faith, is to realize that God doesn't do things the way that we do.
And that's important when we talk about this, because in the series that Speckle to Faith hosted for you, you very effectively showed that what we're looking for is not quite alien. We're just looking for something just a little bit different than we are. And that definitely goes against everything when it comes to God, because God, again, using the term very loosely, is very much quite alien from us. Like you said, his ways are not our ways. The Trinity, which is a concept that still boggles the mind, we kind of understand it. We can apprehend it some, but we don't have to completely understand it. Okay. And so there are all these incommunicable attributes that God has that truly makes him very alien, but he's not so alien because we can call him Father. Why do you think that's significant when we begin to talk about how aliens in the sci-fi genre and the sci-fi world differs from, quote unquote, the alien characteristics, quote unquote, of God, especially God of the Bible?
Well, one of the things that you said earlier, you talk about what we're looking for, and this is something I talk about in the book. I think there's a desire among people that we could call it, if we want to put it in more standard theological terms, that we call it the desire for transcendence. We want, humans don't want, well, not all humans are the same, of course, but generally speaking, we don't want just an ordinary relationship with the God of the universe. We are programmed, I would say, made by God, not only to reflect important things about God, which is why we're in his image or why that terminology is used, but we desire to have a relationship with God, and God has features that are unlike anything else that you'll ever see on earth. And I think that's part of the reason why people are so interested in aliens. Not only is it because we've had a change in our thinking, and we've come to think that life on Earth came about. I mean, I'm talking about how people generally in our culture think, not necessarily Christians, usually not Christians, but but people generally think life came from nothing by itself, and it created itself, and well, why wouldn't we have a lot more of it? And that's really the primary reason people think about aliens. But when they think of aliens, oftentimes they, you know, even going back to Close Encounters of the Third Kind movie, you know, the aliens are kind of amazing and awe-inspiring, and you see this great big light, and there's something about them and meeting them. There's an expectation that it's going to be a transforming experience. It's going to change, and some really serious intellectuals are saying this too. They expect the meeting aliens will change the human race. And what I really think is that without knowing it, it's that part of them that desires that relationship with God that is responding to the idea of aliens. And we could maybe say we should reject the idea of aliens and just talk about God. Maybe what I called in my book a practical-minded Christian might do that. But actually, that's not how we should do it at all. I think this is an opportunity. If we're ambassadors for Christ, if we're to be all things to all people, science fiction fans, we have a door, an open door to talk to them about God. Because God, a lot of times people in the popular imagination think of God as an old man sitting on a throne, and that is not what God is like. God is actually quite different from us, quite exotic, quite transcendent, even though he has enough things, or we reflect enough things in our nature given to us by him, that, you know, we it's fair to say we are made in his image, but we're so, in so many ways, so totally different from God that what we really want, the real transformation that we need, is not from aliens coming down. It's not from ET. It's not from SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. It's not any of those things. The real thing that we need as human beings is that contact with God, who is transcendent, who is not like us. And you could rephrase that, which I did in the book, and say that God is alien to us, and that can be misunderstood. And I try to make it clear in the book that I don't mean that God evolved on another world. He's just like us, but just managed to ascend the ranks of evolution before we did. That's not what I mean. He was different from the beginning. An alien that, as you've noticed, if an alien that ascended the ranks of evolution just about a long time before we did it, is really actually quite a bit like us, even if it physically were to look different. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God was different from the very beginning, had a nature that doesn't require improvement, that doesn't, develop over time. Though I don't know that humans develop over time as much as some people think.
Right.
So anyway, am I making sense?
You're making tons of sense. And one of the things that I want our listeners to know is that when we have an opportunity to talk about things that may be far out, the first thing we shouldn't do is dismiss it. Because for so many people think that science is God. And that's another thing that comes up in this topic. I was watching Jurassic World recently, like yesterday, because I wanted to see the movie. And in Jurassic World, and I love Jeff Goldblum, but he makes this comment like, oh, God has nothing to do with that, because the senator at the courtroom, he says something to the effect of, are you saying the Almighty did something? I forgot. It was something weird. And he goes, God has nothing to do with it. And he says it in this blasé term. And this type of thing is happening over and over and over again, which is they're trying to say God and science have no cohabitation with each other, when it should be the fact that we have science is because we have a creator who is so intelligent that he gives us clues and puzzles for us to figure out. And this is very important when we're talking about what aliens teach us about God, because in sci-fi, when we encounter the aliens, they're telling us something. They're giving us something to awe and to inspire. How can the creation of the universe not inspire us? What do you say to that, Travis?
Well, what you're saying about science is, some people do call science like a new religion. I don't know if that's 100% fair. It depends on who we're talking to, because I think people have different ideas about science. But the idea that science and Christianity are incompatible is just completely untrue. And not only some of the greatest scientists of all time were people who believed not just in God, and some of them were Christians, like Newton, though Isaac Newton, if you study him, he was kind of an unusual Christian for sure, but he was still a Christian. Or if not a Christian, then someone who believes in God, maybe not in a specific religious way, but believing in God like Einstein did. And some of the greatest, if you make a short list of the greatest minds of science, there's far more believers in God among on the top list of the very the greatest scientists that everybody agrees is the greatest than there are atheists, which is rather surprising, because atheists have kind of really taken over science in the past 100 years. And I mean by taken over is you'll probably find more atheists who are scientists than you'll find Christians. But nonetheless, the greatest still are Christians. And there are still a number of prominent great scientists or thinkers of science who are Christian. And so, this is, I guess, part of something I care about, too. It's a separate thing than talking about science fiction. But I also talk about science. As you know, I've done a series of blog posts talking about the car universe without a motor, which you've had me talk about before. But really, that's talking about what direction does science actually point at? Does it point to an empty, random universe? Well, it's possible the universe is self-generating, but science really, if you really look at the science, what science is showing, it's just super improbable. It's so improbable, that science is turning to ideas that it can't prove or demonstrate scientifically to explain it, in hopes maybe it'll explain it someday, like the multiverse. And the thing about the idea of God is that God takes, maybe a problem with the idea of God is it makes things make too much sense, maybe. Some people would say, it makes it too easy.
Right.
But not necessarily, because God may make the universe make sense, but he calls us then to deal with things like evil evil in ourselves and evil in the world. And so that's a challenge. It's a really challenge to us as human beings, and challenges us and asks us to change. But I think, you know what, Parker, I think I may have wandered off your original question. What was your question again, or should I keep going?
No, you answered it just fine. You answered just fine, but we do have to take a really quick break so we can play our people who are partnering with us with WPJC Media. We definitely want to take a break. So if you want to call in and ask questions, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back. You know we will after these messages. Stay tuned.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are joining me today for this insightful show about what aliens teach us about God. I do have a couple of announcements more I need to make. My ministry that I have been supporting for the last several years the missionary couple I've been supporting, Simon and Ruth Saha, they are in desperate need of some financial assistance. I've been supporting them by myself for some time, and they need some financial assistance. They are a legitimate missionary couple that is located in Bangladesh, reaching the lost there, and they definitely need some support. So if you want to find a way to get a tax-deductible support for a missionary couple that is legitimate, that is doing the work of Christ, but they could really, really use your help, please PM me on my Facebook, or you can email me at rightstuffradio@gmail.com, and I can set you up with them directly. You can ask any questions you want, but they are in desperate need of finances. So if you have any kind of extra money you can give on a monthly basis, $10, $5, whatever it is, if you can help support this wonderful missionary couple that is reaching the lost in Bangladesh, please give me an email, or you can hit me on my Facebook and I'll give you the details and you can talk directly to them. We want to give a shout out to Speculative Faith for, again, hosting this blog series, What Aliens Teach Us About God, and then also congratulate them on the new magazine, Laura Haven, Christian Speculative Fiction for All Facets of the Genre. You definitely want to go ahead and download and get your free subscription today. Go to speculativefaith.com, and you can click on that little link at the top right-hand corner and download your first subscription of Lore Haven. You know, Travis, we were talking about what aliens teach us about God, and in the series that Speculative Faith hosted, in your first blog post, you listed the various aliens that we're quote-unquote familiar with, and I'm glad you did it that way. You probably did it that way, probably unconsciously, but it's very logical because, again, you're an analytical and logical person. You started off with the aliens that we are familiar with, the Klingons, the Vulcans, and then you went into Jabba the Hutt, which I never understood Jabba the Hutt. He was like a big fat blob. I never understood why he was even around, but I'm not a Star Wars fan, so that could have something to do with it. But you went into how the aliens that we see, they're not all that dissimilar from us. Even Jabba the Hutt, they're not all that dissimilar. Tell us a little bit about the logic behind using those illustrations.
Well, it's that aliens sometimes in stories really kind of just function as human beings in another form. Or really they emphasize or exaggerate an aspect of human beings. So have there ever been, like Klingons, have there ever been any human warrior cultures, you know, where people basically are dedicated to war full-time and they have ideas of honor? Well, yes. I mean, that's like actually super common with human beings. If you look at enough human history, there's tons of warrior cultures of different flavors. So just to take a that kind of aspect, human warrior ness, if we can call it, and you make it into a whole race, Klingons. And, you know, and just to give it a little bit of flavor to make it seem like it's not just human beings, they give them a few other things, some anatomical differences. But the anatomical differences are really small. Klingons are basically just a human culture elevated and put in space. Vulcans are like that too, except actually the Vulcans totally suppress emotion. Have any human groups ever totally suppressed emotion? And not really. I mean, humans aren't so good at that. But the Stoics of Greco-Roman times, you can throw a little Zen Buddhism, some emotional control, that kind of thing. And you're really kind of pretty close. You just have to make the right mix of cultures, and you can wind up with somebody who acts like a Vulcan. You know, they don't have the ears or some of the physical features, of course, but that's what Vulcans really function as, a kind of an idea of reason. What if reason were, which some human societies have really made a lot out of, what if that was just a whole alien race? And then I felt that what Star Wars has done, I mean, sometimes aliens are almost like decoration in Star Wars. They're just there in the background. You don't really get to know them. But oftentimes Star Wars takes an individual alien creature and makes a race out of the alien, and really it's about not the race but the individual. So Jabba, the example I used, I mean, he's like great, huge, and really looks big and intimidating, powerful and disgusting, you know, and it's like he looks like what it is to be a gangster, you know.
Yeah.
They made him the typical gangster, what they call the archetypical. He looks just like what you would imagine the heart of a gangster, the soul of a gangster would look like, just big and disgusting. And Star Wars does that with other things. I mean, Chewbacca is, you know, loyal and faithful, and he looks, you know, I mean, that's, yeah, that's right. And, you know, Spaceballs made fun of him or this idea by John Candy being a Mog. I'm half a man, half dog, you know, right, if you remember that. But anyway, but that's actually Chewbacca. He's a loyal sidekick, and he's a little bit like, you know, looks a little bit like a pet. I mean, I don't want to insult any Chewbacca fans out there, but I think that Star Wars mastered making an alien race look like what the character is supposed to be, which is kind of a really cool thing to do in storytelling, but they're still playing with human ideas. They're not, you know, they're not so much trying to create something that really is different from us. I think science fiction sometimes does more or less succeed, more or less. It's hard, really hard to actually do, more or less, in putting an alien in place that is truly not like a human being. And just to throw something out there, you know, when you have the Alien series, you look at them, those aliens are not, in fact, much like human beings, but they are like something else that lives on Earth. They're like kind of like insects, you know, how they have a queen and they reproduce, they lay eggs, and, you know, they go through rapid transformation that the insects go through. So they're like a inhuman alien, but they're not really not so much on a human level, but different, what I would call being alien. And so anyway, science fiction sometimes gets you there, sometimes gets you close to have a sense that there's an intelligence out there that isn't human, but it's, and the examples I started out with were aliens that are pretty much like humans in other form.
And that's the fascinating part of the discussion, is that when you start to break these things down, you're actually seeing that the aliens that we really love, that we call quite aliens, that we have cult followings to. I mean, who hasn't, you know, if you're a Star Trek fan, who doesn't love the Vulcans? Who doesn't love Spock? You know, these people that you're actually putting on a little, you know, fan pedestal, they're actually quite human. Now, the only thing that threw me off when you mentioned, not threw me off, but like the aliens in The Quiet Place. Have you seen that? Travis? Have you seen The Quiet Place?
Oh, yeah, I have seen The Quiet Place. Yeah, I have.
Okay. Now, I mean, I have to – I enjoyed the movie. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie. But there was, like, giant plot holes in this movie. But I guess you don't really watch
right.
the movie for the plot holes. Because I was thinking
right. –
and I'm sorry for spoilers here. They're like a giant ear. So I
pretty much,
at
yeah.
a giant ear, which is fascinating to me because – I was wondering, how do they fly the ship to get to Earth? You know what I mean? How do they get here? Because
yeah, right,
they can't
right.
see. And then, you know, but they made them try to look as disparate as possible from the regular aliens that we're used to seeing. But then these aliens, even though they're a giant ear, they hear you and they kill you for whatever reason. We have no idea why they're just killing people or eating them, I think. And if you think about some aliens, simply some aliens like the Alien Queen from the Alien franchise, the aliens from The Quiet Place, and others, they're just personification of human desires, whether they're mental human
or
desires,
fears.
Like greed
yeah,
or
fears,
fear,
yeah.
they just feed, you know. And so what we're trying to say at the end of the day is here are all these aliens that we love that simply are reflecting human characteristics. So let's switch it now. What makes God so quote-unquote alien that we don't quite understand him? Let's go on that route now.
Well, I talked about some things in that already in this interview where I talked about God, you know, being a spirit, being invisible, being infinite. You know, I could talk about more along things along those lines, being all-knowing, you know, not having a physical body. And if I could say in the image of God, God sees but does not have eyes. But he gave us eyes. He made a physical device to do what he can do. He handles the universe. He manipulates it and moves it with his hands, but he doesn't have hands in the way we do, but he gave us hands. He moves and gave us feet. You know, so I think this is part of what it means to be in the image of God. God gave his attributes in physical form, but that's only one aspect. And, I mean, another aspect that's really important, and we're going to talk about God, is that God has, God cannot lie, is something the Bible says. God cannot sin. God is not able to contradict himself, and this is something human beings do all the time. We often forget the promises we made. We often break our promises. We break our word. We at one, you know, the same time can be good and bad, and there is this thing about God's nature as the God, the brilliant artist, who's able to think thoughts that we can't even conceive of, at the same time has a character, a purity of character that's simpler than human beings because he doesn't have a sin nature. And so that purity of character has a big influence I don't know if influence is even the right word, but it demonstrates some things about, you know, when Christianity talks about God's nature, why does God do the things he does? Why did, for example, Christ die on the cross? Well, it's because why did God go that direction? Why didn't God just say, oh, okay, I forgive you? Because God has got a justice aspect to his nature, a promise-keeping and truth-telling aspect that can't just let things slide. That it isn't like us in that way, that demands perfection. But then the other side of the same person has tremendous love, so much love, so much detail put into every single atom, every electron, every molecule, all this detail, all this planning, this thought, this organization. Even though God is able to let, you know, creatures die, God is able to contemplate that, is able to allow destruction to happen in the universe. But God put such a level of detail and care and plan and everything that he made, every little detail. It's like God's got the ultimate finicky personality, you could say, that everything has to be just so, but then love is poured upon each and everything. And this explains why is it God had such a high standard that he had to take the punishment himself in the form of Jesus? Why did God, why was that necessary as a Christian? It's awfully hard to explain if you imagine God as an old man in the heavens and he's sending his human son and he's sacrificing his son. You know, it just gets really confusing. But what you're missing in that picture is that God is not human like us. His way of doing things, his justice is so different than the way we think. That explains a lot of things that are true about the Christian faith. And so talking about God as an alien, you know, I mean, is a way to open the door, I hope, to better understanding God and what God is doing or what God has done according to the Bible. And it's not me rewriting the Bible or imagining, you know, ancient aliens coming down and visiting Moses. It's none of that. In fact, I think ancient alien ideas don't stack up very well to a little bit of scrutiny. But it is me talking about how thinking about aliens, how people imagine them sometimes, as being different from us humans, helps us get the concept across our minds that God is not like us.
Another thing that I want you to talk about, because you did this in the series, and like I said, I'm a huge Alien franchise lover, so I really hated Prometheus. Silence.
Okay.
Silence, you know. Silence for the Fallen. Okay, I really hated Prometheus, but I did like the second, which was Covenant, Alien Covenant. I did like
right.
it, but it kind of took away the mysticism and the mythical aspects of Alien, because now they just totally ruined it. But at the same time, there's a scene in there where David, which is the android, is looking back at his creator, you know, Wayland. He's looking back at his creator. And one thing that happens is that David begins to have contempt for his creator. He has contempt for him because he's like, I'm better than you. What
right.
are you so big deal about? And I want you to discuss that, because we can't ever really say I'm better than God. What first thing we always say when things go wrong, things are happening, why would God do this to me? Why would a loving God do this to me? Why God? Oh God, why me? We always say that. But then when we have an understanding of God that he is so alien from us that we don't understand it, then we say, why do these bad things happen to me if you're supposed to be so good? Tell us a little bit about what's going on in that mind process. And what's so alien about that? I hope that question comes out correct, Travis, because I think I just muddled it.
Well, it's kind of, you know, when we talk mm-hmm. about the nature of God, I think we are all talking over our heads a little bit, because God is
yeah.
beyond us. So don't feel bad if the question sounds a little funny. And my answer might sound a little funny, too. But, you know, I do pray for God's grace that he helped me say it the right way. But let me talk about Covenant for just a second. So first,
mm-hmm.
the Alien Covenant, that movie, which I watched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily recommend it to everybody, because if you're not a person into graphic violence, it's not a movie for you. It's graphically violent.
Right.
But one of the things they did in the movie, I think Ridley Scott is sort of trying to answer intelligent design arguments. So
mm-hmm.
in a movie form. What mm-hmm. he's doing, in effect, is saying that, okay, you intelligent design guys are saying that human beings are designed. Well, so what? Even if we were designed, that doesn't mean our designer was good. So
mm-hmm.
he's showing that, you know, the aliens originally created humans. Of course, he kind of messed it up logically by having them basically be humans, so they didn't create humans. But anyway,
yeah.
let's not worry about that to his goof too much.
But
he's saying, but they're not necessarily good. They're flawed, and they just happen to make us. And then he shows even maybe a stronger example in Covenant, where David, made and created in the image of a human, decides to make something not in his image exactly, the xenomorph, the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we know that are really horrific monsters with all these transformations that are reminiscent of insects, or, you know, that would make you think about some of these wasps with legs and their hosts and everything like that. And he is created by an evil mind who thinks he is superior than his creator. And David almost winds up acting like Lucifer. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure Ridley Scott wasn't thinking of making a model of Lucifer. Actually, David
mm-hmm.
as Lucifer esque kind of character is the most
yeah.
interesting part of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Alien
he really
Covenant.
Is.
Yeah, and my biggest cheer in that movie, the movie that I liked it, is when Walter fought David, when
yes.
Walter stepped up and hit him. I was cheering at that moment, but most of the regular humans were not too interesting in that movie for me. The androids were interesting in what that part of the story. But anyway, but I enjoyed. But anyway, the thing about it is that this concept that David had, that he's better than his creator, and then he sets out, you know, to make something just really horrible. I think Ridley Scott means that to say, well, you can be a creator and not be good. And,
right.
And that's true, but, you know, the answer to that is is pretty old. And, you know, I was introduced to it by C.S. Lewis. If God is not good, why do we even have a concept of good? If we really evolved just for the purpose of survival, like some of these scientists talk about, like Richard Dawkins in his book, The Selfish Gene, if our really purpose in life is just to reproduce our genes, why do we have a concept of good and bad? And there's all kinds of various explanations of why a human would have this concept that might enhance our group survival, blah, 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 blah. But they're really weak sauce compared to how we really feel about evil. People feel very strongly about evil. People feel very strongly, even people who don't believe in God, feel that somebody like, for example, Adolf Hitler deserves to be punished. Hitler deserves to go to hell. Hitler deserves to fry because of the crimes he committed. Well, I don't, not me. And the unfortunate truth for humans, or the inconvenient truth, is that we're actually – one of the reasons why we don't go around killing people is because we'll get punished. It's not because we don't have a desire to do violence in us, and we do. It's not because we don't lie, or not because we're not willing to hurt people or abuse people or do terrible things to people. And psychological studies have shown that people will do pretty awful things as long as they just have permission from an authority figure to do it. And it's very common that actually it's uncommon for people to resist authority and say, no, I won't do evil. That speaks to human nature, that we're not so great after all. But the very idea we have that there should be goodness out there came to us from beyond us. And I would say it came to us from God. And that God's the arbiter of that. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's the important part there when you talk about this concept of how aliens point, what aliens teach us about God, because we have these attributes that if you look at the sci-fi, we go with the regular, the popular Darwinian or neo-Darwinian or atheistic, nihilistic view. These aliens are simply just surviving. You know, they're taking over another world, like in, and I hate it, Independence Day, the second one. But anyway, they take over the world. They all come over here and, you know, they're just taken over. I mean, because that's what you do. That's the only purpose in life, is just to survive. But God says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And these are concepts that are alien to us, because if we were to go strictly with the neo-Darwinistic or Darwinistic, nihilistic, naturalistic view, that's all we're here for, is just to survive, just to procreate, to survive. And God says, I come that you may have life and have more abundantly. And then what he says, he says, be fruitful and multiply. He doesn't say you got to knock some of the people down and take some people out. This is alien, if you think about it.
Yeah.
He said, matter of fact, have as many kids as you want. And my mother always said, that's the one commandment we obey. We do obey having kids. That's the one commandment we obey, is be fruitful and multiply.
Right. And it's one of the things, too, is that we might know somebody, we might know another human being who reflects part of the nature of God, and that they care for others, that they're empathetic.
Yeah.
So we can imagine an empathetic, maybe we can imagine an empathetic God. But then if we also know that God is, or we get introduced, some people, if they're introduced to the idea that God is going to judge the world for evil, for sin.
Yep.
So a lot of people object to that. They go, no, I don't like that idea. I like the empathetic God idea. But how can God be empathetic and let the person nobody wants to be let go, just about nobody's willing to forgive, Hitler? How can he be good? How can he be truly loving? Because truly loving people don't enjoy when other people get hurt. And so God has to be a judge. And then, of course, some people will say, well, then if God can solve all these problems, why doesn't he solve them right now, right instantly? Why doesn't he just do this? Why does he let there be any suffering? And this is something, you know, the Bible talks about quite a lot. But a lot of it comes down to the fact, if you read Job and you go through Job, when Job and his friends think they all know what is wrong, and it gets to the end and Job is talking to God himself, God repeatedly demonstrates to Job how much he doesn't know about him, about God and God's plans. And God, and Job in the end puts his hands up and says, I don't know. And really what I would say in the terms of what I'm trying to say in this book is that God is basically saying, look, my ways are beyond your ways. My thoughts are beyond your thoughts. I am, and we could maybe rephrase it as loosely to say, I'm alien to you, and you won't get it, and you aren't going to get it now. We have a promise in the New Testament that we will get it, you know, that when we see him, Christ, we will be like him, that we will understand someday, but now we don't understand, and that's just part of the way things are, and we may not like it. We may rebel against it, shake our fists against the heavens, but we're human. There's only so much we can understand. We're limited. That's part of life. But God has a plan beyond us, and he does care. It is a loving plan. And you're so right that he offers us love. And people don't get the judgment part, but there is an offer of love, and it's to everybody. It's free, an offer of love. And that's something that we just wouldn't do. Some people might be like just kind of say, okay, let everything slide. And other people might really go out against, you know, in a rampage against evil. But we don't see that combined in one human being, not very much anyway. So it's something that we just can't, we have a hard time wrapping our head around who God is.
And that is an important part of our discussion, and that's what makes them, quote unquote, so alien to us, because these attributes, we want the love, we don't want the judgment, but if he didn't love us, he wouldn't judge us, because you just can't let stuff slide. We often say, and I know, Travis, you can agree with me here, you know, someone bothers you, you kind of let it go, and then one day you say,
right,
you're going to pick the right day. You're going to pick the right day. And you're going to get me at the wrong time. I have to let you know what I'm all about. And that's
similar to
what God does. He says, he's loving and long patient, but after a while, you're going to pick the right time. I'm going to have to give you a whooping.
Right.
I'm going to have to punish you.
Right.
I'm going to have to judge you. And this is just to the church, the ones that we call Abba, the one who we call Abba Father. That's to the church. You know, I can't imagine those who are lost. You know, and so he's saying that. He says, I can love you and I can give you blessings. But after a while, you have to be chastised. He said, God loves those he chastises. He loves them, you know. And I want to read really quickly. I love the book of Job, because I always think, Lord, please don't let that be me. But I love the book of
Job.
Right. In Job 38, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had been issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swallowing band, and break it up from my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? These are questions in the book of Job from 38 to verse 12. I just read this a part of it, because he's asking questions about the creation of everything. This is where God started at. And one thing that I find extremely interesting is that in the book of Genesis, when God introduces himself to us, and this is something I got from another author, Alan Arnold, author of The Story of Whip, he said, how come God introduced himself in the Genesis as a creator? And that is extremely important when we talk about aliens, because aliens, oftentimes in sci-fi, they come to conquer. They're coming to conquer.
Right.
They're coming as superior.
Right.
God introduced himself as a creator, and not just a creator that's coming to make us bow down before him. He made us for worship, for communion. Usually when aliens come about, they're here to conquer. You know, I mean, how many of us have seen, what was the one that, it was one of the books by Ray Bradbury. Oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of it, but there's the aliens came and they made the humans worship them, and then the humans forgot they were aliens, and then they eventually began to believe they were gods, and it could be just a mishmash of all the sci-fi out there, actually. It could be just a mishmash of all that, because that happens so often. But we understand that as humans, we understand the need to conquer, the need to rule over people, the need to control. But God created us for communion. He created us for fellowship. And quote, if you think about it, Travis, will you consider that quite alien?
Yeah, it is, and it's you know, some of the things that we say about God all the time, and they're in the scripture. I sometimes think that they're really kind of, if you think about them more, they're just examples. So we're familiar when we say that, you know, when God talks about being shepherd of Israel. This is in Old Testament, before Christ, it said of Christ that he is a good shepherd. That the shepherd, okay, we know that that's a picture. It's teaching us something.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
The shepherd will take, Right. The shepherd takes care of sheep. Sheep are dumb. You know, sheep are really dumb, you know, and they can't take care of themselves very well. And a human needs to really care for them and be tender to them, and you know, or they won't make it. Well, we're familiar with that idea, but we sometimes talk about God the Father and their religions that have thought this was literally true, that God's literally the father of human race, but that they don't quite understand that actually that in itself is not quite really what things are. God is our creator, but his compassion for us is like a human father's for his child, a good father, of course, but the image of the father is kind of maybe important because some people have objected, you know, to the masculine role used there. Mm-hmm. But I think the masculine maybe gets us a little bit closer how fathers are in family relationships to how the mm-hmm. Heavenly Father is. And that is, mothers tend, this isn't always true, my own mother wasn't so much like this, but mothers tend to be very soft, and my mother wasn't always so soft. She was actually pretty tough at times, but mothers tend to be soft, tend to be loving, tend to be accepting, tend to be whatever you can do, honey, I love you, and mm-hmm. all forgiving. And if we had a Heavenly Mother, maybe that's what we would expect, all forgiving. But fathers, there's a tendency, it's not true in every case, but fathers tend to be both, I love you and I expect something of you. I love you and mm-hmm. I don't want you to be a bad person. And if you are a bad person, I have a problem with you. And that is what the Heavenly Father is like. We are his creation. He is so far beyond us. We're like ants compared to him, really, or bacteria mm-hmm. or something. And if we had ants rebel against us, human beings, we would just get rid of them, you know. I mean, that's right. Our nature. If we have some tiny life form rebel against us, we just get rid of it, man. Forget it. You know, don't even just get the spray. Pssht, and that's it. They're dead, you know. But God's nature is he cares about the tiny ants, and he provides a way out. I mean, not with an endless, limitless patience. There is a point at which judgment will come, but God has a great deal of patience, and he is providing a way for us relatively tiny ants to be saved, to come to be in heaven, be in eternity, to have fellowship, to have communion. And this is the aspect of a father who is tender, a very tender and loving father, a very compassionate father. And this is, you know, but still there is the judgment aspect. And some of these things that God, we hear in the Bible, that, you know, God is the Father, God is the Shepherd, Christ called himself the door by which you enter in, or the bread of life, and all these things have meaning to teach us. They're trying to get us across an idea that is not part of ordinary life. I mean, ordinary life things point to it. And God has put these hints in the nature of the world, in creation, that should direct our eyes toward him. That's how it should be. And first of all, part of it is just a sense of wonder and awe at creation, how amazing it is, that the tremendous artistry of just simple things. Oh, well, I mean, they aren't so simple, but things that you might describe in simple terms, like a sunset. Those things are supposed to draw your heart to God, and God is doing that the whole time. And this whole thing he's trying to teach us, show us, and part of what he's trying to show us, you know, is that he's not like us. That's why you can't make any image of God, the things that was forbidden in the law. You know why you can't make an image of God? Because it doesn't apply. There's nothing you can fashion or carve or shape or photograph that accurately represents the essence of God. The closest thing there's ever been is according to, you know, the New Testament, Jesus Christ. And we mm-hmm. could, in theory, see him, but it's so interesting. We don't even have a picture, a true picture of what he looked like from the New Testament. And it wasn't important. We humans can focus on that, what the outside looks like. And God doesn't care. You know, when he picked King David, he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He is looking at this whole thing different. He's different from us. And I just love to tell people what God is like, because God is so amazing, is so mind-blowing. And anything, you know, an old science fiction fan that might just think aliens are so super cool. Man, aliens are awesome. I love what these aliens do. They're so cool. They're so interesting, so weird, neat, cool. And God is neater and cooler than all of mm-hmm. them, and also beyond us in the same way, but more, you know, totally.
And what we're going to do is take a quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to respond to some of your comments that we received about what would happen if you discovered aliens and would that test your faith. In a few moments we got left, we're going to have Travis respond to some of your comments. And you know what? You still have time to call in 646-668-8485 and then press that 1. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Travis Perry. He is an author, publisher, writer, military personnel. Thank you for your service, as well as just an all-around cool nerd. If you want to know more about Travis, you simply can go to his website. You can go to Bear Publications, which is also his publishing company. Or if you want to follow him on his blog, go to travis'sbigidea.blogspot.com. That's Travis S. bigidea.blogspot.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at TT_Perry. Again, that's Twitter, TT_Perry on Twitter. And definitely want to get more information about his publishing company, go to bearpublications.com. One thing, Travis, that I asked our listeners and supporters of the show was that would their faith be affected if it was discovered that aliens exist? Now, this is a biggie for a lot of people because, and we haven't had time to go into it today, the demonic influences that underline a lot of the UFO activity that we see. But we won't talk about that for this episode of the show. We'll come back and revisit it. But we did get some comments to that question of if their faith would be tested by the thing of having discovered aliens. So Jeremy from Dothan, Alabama says, not a bit. Who's to say when they were created, who they might be, what purpose they serve, or whether or not they have free will to accept or reject the will of God? Jeremy, thank you so much for your comment. Travis?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting, if you do look at creation, and one of the cool things about science is discovered all kinds of, you know, little tiny animals and plants that don't necessarily catch human beings' attention. And God does some pretty wild design sometimes, some things that you wouldn't really necessarily think of just looking at, you know, mammals and birds that are around and commonly and easy to see. So it's totally conceivable that God would create aliens that look different from us. Of course, I mean, one of the first things that I would be interested in if we were to encounter life outside planet Earth, is it, you know, what's their DNA like? Wouldn't it be interesting if the DNA happened to match species that already exist on Earth or are very similar to that? You know, that would point, well, of course, there's a way to explain that as something other than creation of God, but that would point to God doing something in common or, you know, like an orchestra making, you know, different music that has themes that are in common. You know, I see God doing that in nature. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if God made aliens that look like, you know, that are aliens. It's definitely possible that he could. I don't really know that there are aliens out there, but if there are, it's definitely a possible thing God could create. And I would be very interested to talk to such aliens and see what their concepts of God are. I mean, wouldn't it be surprising if we met intelligent extraterrestrials and found that they all pretty much believe something that's similar to Christianity? Wouldn't that be kind of a big surprise?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be. Maybe they would be sending missionaries to us humans who
right.
don't believe. You know,
like those earthlings need help.
You know, they'd be like, "You guys are bad. We need to help you out." But we don't know. And there's so much. I think the idea of being a Christian, if we think of God as the creator, if we think of God as able to make things that we don't necessarily know about, and then maybe perhaps we could just discover them later, or perhaps not, maybe not until eternity would we realize that God had done other things that we don't know about. But if we're able to imagine God being beyond what we've already imagined, which I think the Bible justifies looking at God that way, it's definitely possible to think of God as a creator of aliens. Now, but we have to be careful not to substitute in our hearts the idea of what an alien, maybe, oh, aliens would be so cool. Actually, God himself is so cool, you know. And some people look in the universe and think of it as being empty of intelligent life and really feel kind of sad about that idea. But it isn't empty of intelligent life, even if there are no other aliens, because God is in that universe. God permeates that universe. So the universe is full of intelligence rather than being an empty, barren place. But anyway, yeah, I want to know more about aliens if we encountered aliens for real. And I don't think UFOs are real the way that they're described today.
David Johnson, who's the author of the book Star Wolf, says this. He's from Dallas, Texas, says, "Not at all. In fact, I deal with that what if as a major theme in Star Wolf. I feel there is a reasonable case to be made that this entire universe with billions and billions of galaxies we can never hope to reach, and even the vastness of our own galaxy, which is tiny in universal terms, being so immense that it's almost inconceivable that we would be the only life forms out there. We have an infinite God capable of infinite creation, and while without doubt we are uniquely loved and provided for by our Creator, that's not the same as being ultimately unique in the universe." David, thank you so much for your comment. Travis?
Right. Yeah, that's a great comment. I like what he had to say. I don't feel – there's some people that will say because the universe is so vast, that means there must be other life. I don't actually go that direction. It's possible that there's other life, but it's not a waste of space for God to just put us in the universe, because God is
Amen.
Able to use space whatever way he wants. However mm-hmm. – it's a great comment he made. God's definitely capable of making far more than just us.
I like how you said that, Travis. That kind of titillates me, because one of the things people say is, well, there has to be more people than just us. I say, you're about to house and put five people in there? That's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Put a few billion on one planet. I mean, that's a lot of people. So, yeah, I like how you said that. Kessie from Bakersfield, California says, nope, but it would be really interesting if they were sentient, finding out their beliefs. The Catholic Church had the same debate about whether Indians could be saved and if they had souls. Kessie, thank you so much for your comment. Travis?
That's a good comment. Yeah, that's a great comment. And that was and it's not, of course, people that lived in the Americas when Europeans arrived were fully human, but
yeah.
Europeans didn't expect to find anybody there. And they did have this debate if those people might be different from us. And because
mm-hmm.
they were surprised by the Americas, and they were surprised to find people here. I think it's maybe points to a possibility we could be surprised again, and maybe we'd find. You know, it'd be a totally interesting question to see what the attitudes of any extraterrestrials we meet, what they could be like.
You know, I didn't mean to laugh when you said that. You said the
aliens are okay.
Totally human. I mean, not because it's funny, but it's just ironic. It's just ironic. We did get another comment. We got a comment from Ricky from Beaverton, Oregon. She said, why would it? The Bible only pertains to how God interacts with humanity and earth, not the rest of his vast creation. Ricky, thank you so much for your comment. Travis?
Well, let's say that this is the only – let's just imagine that planet Earth is the only inhabited planet in this universe. That would still be a pretty big universe, plenty of room for other things. But you know what, there's no – if there is such a thing as a multiverse, if there is, And I don't know there is, but it could be there is. And if there is, God is the creator of that as well. And believing in God doesn't necessarily limit us to just a few small things. It could be God creating layer after layer after layer of things. And we literally just don't know what God has done. And I think just it's actually having faith in God in an imaginative way to imagine God could have done more than we have thought of.
Amen. The other comment we received was from Elaine from Sherman, Texas. She said, would not test my faith, but increase it. Elaine, thank you so much for adding to the conversation. Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are aliens that could challenge faith. I mean, if they were just so, you know, like totally evil and then showed no interest in knowing anything about God, or, you know, there are certain versions of aliens that maybe could challenge my faith, but I think just aliens in of themselves I would not put them in that category. Aliens, would certainly make me think about, first thing is God is a creator and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. I think about just the alien life on our planet when it comes to the different sea creatures we found. I remember seeing a video of a fish that created a mosaic under the sea. And all he's trying to do is get a date. You know, this fish is just making all these little things. All he's trying to do is get a date. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness. You know, then I think about the peacock, the male peacock, because he's trying to get the peahen, you know. And the peahen is not the most attractive thing you've ever seen, you know. But he's handsome. And all he's trying to do, again, is get a date. He's, you know, he's wagging his feathers. Right. Like, look at me, you know. And I think
being
about
being fruitful and multiplying.
Yeah, that's all he's trying to do. You know, obey the commandment, you know. And then I think about the tiny little, it's an animal. I forgot what type of animal, but it's an animal. It's called a water bear. And they put it in space for 10 days. And it was able to sit in space for 10 days. This tiny itty bitty thing able to sit in space for 10 days. And controls metabolism. And there's a lot of alien life here on Earth, and God is saying, hey, you know, you're looking outside for wonder, outside of the universe for wonder, a different planet. We want the wonder right here. And that alien life on Earth teaches us about God, because God is ultimately the best creator out there, and he ultimately understands our need for wonder. He understands our need for exploration, for knowledge, that thirst that he put in us. One thing I got to ask you, as we get ready to close our podcast today, one thing I got to ask you, if God truly was like us, would he have made us to be curious? And I say this for this particular reason. And look at how we treat artificial life, the robots. We create robots to serve us. We do not create robots to have their own intelligence, even though we're playing around artificial intelligence. But in actuality, the artificial intelligence is just for them to serve us. We're not looking for them to actually go, you know what, shut up, Parker. You're not actually looking for them to say that, you know.
Right.
But that's how we will create life, to serve us. God created life, and he created it so we can have communion with him. What do you think about that? And correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think a lot of people would like to hope that that human beings would create life for better purposes. But if we want to be honest, more honest about human race than maybe some people would like, well, the life that we have influenced most are domestic animals, right? And what do we create them for? Either as pets for our enjoyment or to eat, you know?
Yeah.
Or if we influence plant life, it's to eat or to get rid of the ones we don't like, you know, or don't want to eat. Or maybe to do what we think is beautiful. But when we manipulate nature, I mean, we do it for us. And I think, actually, in some ways, our ability to manipulate nature and to create is in itself a reflection of God. But the way that we do it with our sin nature is not the way I think God intended us to do it from the beginning, you know, for the benefit of nature, which we still can sometimes do. We still have some of these ideas that remain that were originally given us by God. Even people that aren't Christians, that don't know God personally, might have this idea that you should be beneficial. But, you know, if we were the way humans are now, I mean, you know, as an overall species, if we made other intelligences, I would feel bad for them. You know, I mean, we do some bad things. And there's a lot of people today that feel that that's in our past. And I wish that were true, but it isn't in our past. We are living in a time where human slavery is increasing, we would like to think that isn't true, but it is increasing, and a lot of it's sexual slavery, and a lot of it is other kind. There's other kinds of slavery too, but sexual slavery is one of the biggest ones, and that's all about human sin out of control, and it's unfortunate. It's true that we need God, not just to offer us love and forgiveness, but to deal with some of the evil that's in this world, because we're not doing a very good job of doing it.
Travis, this has been just a phenomenal conversation. I'm so glad you were able to join me, and I want people to have an opportunity to follow you online. I kind of gave your outlets earlier, but go ahead and share them again.
Sure. Yeah. The Bear Publications is Bear. You can put www, but you don't have to. Bear Publications as one word .com, or Travis's Big Ideas, my blog. Travis is with a possessive S, so TRAVISS, Big Idea, at blogspot.com. And you know, we have some books coming up, releasing as publishing. I'm trying to get all these things ready all together. This is one of the books I'm getting released, writing speculative I messed up a couple words there. What Aliens Teach Us About God is one of the books I'm trying to get out. I have a version in Spanish, Que Nos Enseñan Los Extraterrestres. I have a version in French I'm working on, too. I have some other books, A Shattered World, which is a combination of Lilia Rose Forman's Shattered World Trilogy, her textbook, a self-paced version for adults. She already had a textbook for younger students, but writing speculative fiction, Mythic Orbits 2, and more. I'm trying to all get this done in just a few days from now, the 30th. And anyway, it's going to be huge if I can pull it all together, just trying to get these last niggles finished. So stay tuned, everybody. Bear Publications has some things happening.
You poor, poor soul.
Yeah, I know, right?
And I'm doubly thankful that you came on board to tell us about this new release, What Aliens Teach Us About God. And I really thank the Lord that he put this nugget inside of you, because I know there are people out there who have these questions, who are just fascinated by the alien culture. They really look forward to it, and we can still use this opportunity to reach them. And again, Travis, what's one of your final thoughts about this topic as we get ready to close? What's your final take this with you and sleep with it tonight thought that you want to send to our listeners?
Yeah, it's just important to make an emphasis on God being transcendent, that we don't minimize God by thinking of him as just like a human being. And one possible way, it's not the only way to talk about that, is to think of God as being alien to us. And one way to talk to science fiction fans about God is to talk about God, the transcendent God, being alien. And it doesn't dishonor God if we do it in the right way, in the right context. And that's something that I hope my book can help people understand and do, to be released on the 30th of this month.
Travis,
thank you, Parker, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much for being with me on the show, Travis. You know I enjoy having you. You know I'm a fan, and you know I enjoy your insights into many different things. You know, there have been times I would disagree with you, Travis, and I still like what you say. That's how much I enjoy your insight. And it's really cool when you can disagree with someone and still love it. That hasn't been that many, though. It hasn't been that much, Travis. Well, but even if I have disagreed with you, I just love your insight, because you always come at it from an analytical, very logical point. And I think in this realm of fantasy, especially in today's world where critical thinking skills are not really being pushed, just simply follow the leader and do what I say, we need this type of talk. And that's why I think God is using you in these various lights in that direction. As long as I can, the Lord gives me strength, I'll continue to support that. And I appreciate you being with me on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Parker. I appreciate your support. And it's been a fun show. I appreciate you having me on.
We were talking today to Travis Perry. He is the author of the blog series hosted by the ever fabulous Speculative Faith. You can go to their website, speculativefaith.lorehaven.com, and also sign up for Lorehaven Magazine. If you like Christian spec fiction of all genres, this is what you definitely want to do. You don't want to wait. You want to do it now. So go to speculativefaith.lorehaven.com and you will go to their website. You'll sign up for the magazine. You'll sign up for their email newsletter. So whenever you get interesting topics coming out of Speck of the Faith, you'll be the first one to see. And let me tell you, Speck of the Faith has been around for a very long time. They really do probe the issues of Speck of the Faith and how it relates to Christianity through movies, through books, and just through insightful things like Travis Perry's What Aliens Teach Us About God. Lots of great stuff there. So make sure you go to speckofthefaith.lorehaven.com. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter and find out what all the fuss is about. And then don't forget to get your copy of What Aliens Teach Us About God. It's a short book. I had the honor of reading the ARC, but then Travis just told me he put some extra chapters in there. So I'm very excited to see what those chapters are. But this topic is so very important. I hope you understand how important it is. If you want to get started on the blog series, make sure you go to speckofthefaith.lorehaven.com and type in the search box aliens, and you'll be able to find this series. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.